All right, we've been talking about making space. Everybody say making space. So we've talked about different things, and I've kind of used my example of my home, where we just recently tore down a wall, and it's still in process of the wall. The wall's gone. There's some flooring. Yeah, Rebecca was staying with our animals while we were gone, and she walked in and said, "Oh, there's like no wall between the kitchen and the living room anymore. That's a thing." And but we're looking to do some stuff, put some flooring in, and all that kind of stuff. So, anyway, we'll leave that alone. But we're making space. Everybody say making space.
Making space,
because like our house, it was early 80s, and so they didn't believe in like large floor plans. It was everything had a room, right? We had our kitchen and our living room, and so we're making space is what we're doing. So it's going to be great, and so super excited about that. But making space is like we're also making space in our basement. And our space in our basement, it gets just cluttered with a bunch of, how many of y'all know what I'm talking about? There's space, just gets cluttered with stuff. It's like, why do I need this stuff? And so we talked about our good friends, Pitch and Chuck, right? Our good friends, Pitch and Chuck, that we love when Pitch and Chuck come to the Lear house. Because things get pitched and they get chucked. And we get rid of things. But we've talked about how we need to work that whole idea into our spiritual life. There are some things that we need to pitch and chuck. And things in our lives, we can get cluttered with our lives, and we don't make space for the things of God. We don't make space for His presence. We don't make space, we talked about last week, to hear His voice. We live a life, some of us live a life, and it's easy in our culture. I had this one guy talking similar about this kind of stuff. He had a message years ago. We called it weapons of mass distraction. And we do, boy. We live in America with weapons of mass distraction. There are so many things that clutter our mind, clutter our lives. Hebrews chapter 12 says it like this. This is our scripture that we've read. It says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off." Everybody say, "Throw off." He's talking about our friends, right? Pitch and Chuck. "Let's throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let's run with perseverance the race that God has for us." God has a race for you to run. He has something for you to do. He has something that's going to matter, not just here, but has something that's going to matter for all of eternity. And let me say this, when you talk about the plan of God for your life, we're all in seasons. There's all seasons of our lives. I mean, I remember talking to, there was a couple in our church, and they had fostered a couple of kids, and they're like, "Man, this is all we can do is focus on," you know, at one point they had sung in the worship teams, they've done a lot of ministry, they said, "But right now, like, our sole focus is these kids that we have, and fostering these kids." And they were like, they felt guilty, right? They felt like they weren't doing enough. And I said, "Look, no. This is where God has you. This is your season. And this work that you're doing has eternal consequences. So do that." Amen? So you know, let's be careful that when we talk about the plan of God, we put it in context with who we, you know, what God's called us to do in our season that we're in. But sometimes, even in our season, there can be things that clutter us that really don't matter for all of eternity. I think it was Francis Chan who said, he goes, I don't want to be an expert at things that don't matter for eternity. I don't want to be an expert. Like, I use the example, I'm a fisherman. I love fishing. That's like my thing. And it's about to be football season. And I'm telling you, the Falcons, they're looking good. This could be the year. Those of you who've been with me for a while, you know. How many of y'all were with me on that fateful Super Bowl night? And you saw me about lose it. I really wanted everybody just to go home. It was sad. It was bad. So, but those things, like I remember in, this is kind of a side, but I remember I used to teach a class called Forever Free at another church. And and our Forever Free class was about breaking addiction, breaking bondages, and breaking habits off of your life. And we taught that class at 2 o'clock on Sunday afternoons. And it really tries you, because that's exactly when most of the time the Falcons kick off at 1. Right? So actually back then though, you kind of knew that we were going to lose by 1:30. So it's true. I'm a long time. I can say it. So but I remember, like, that was a sacrifice. Like, what was more important for me? Right? Choosing the plan of God or teaching this class that had eternal consequences. You know, I don't know that, you know, I'm not real sure that when I get to heaven, you know, God's really doesn't, I don't know how much he cares about how well the Falcons did this past year. Because what he cares about is people. What he cares about, he cares more about the players than the game, right? He cares about us as individuals. And so sometimes you have to throw off those things that clutter your life. And for football, even though I love it, even though I still watch it, we got to be careful that it doesn't clutter our lives and consume our lives and make our lives like Jesus said. Listen to this. He said in Mark chapter 4, he talked about the sower who sowed the word, the seed. He said, still others, talking about the different kinds of seed that hit the different kind of ground, are like a seed that were sown among thorns. But watch this. The worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and a desire for other things come and choke out the word, making it, listen to this, unfruitful. Like, if we're not careful, the things that clutter our life will cause you and me to become unfruitful. Jesus said, I want you to bear fruit. Bear fruit. As a matter of fact, if you're bearing fruit, I'm gonna trim you up a little bit more so that you can bear more fruit. I'm going to start the pruning process so that you would bear more fruit. Because God wants, and the fruit that remains is people. God loves people. So I talked to you last week about hearing from the Lord and being a person that hears from the Lord. This morning, I'm going to talk about maybe a familiar subject to some, maybe not a familiar subject to some. But I want to talk about making space for the anointing. Making space for the anointing. So those of you who come from a charismatic background, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Or maybe we'll talk about it maybe in a little bit different way. Or maybe you've just heard that word. It's been associated with something that you went, I don't know, that's not the anointing, that's the annoying, right? Y'all get that in a minute. It's not the anointing, but the annoying. Sometimes those things can be really close. We'll leave that alone. The word anointing is, it actually comes from the idea that it came from the shepherds would use it. And what they would do is they would take oil, and they would take the oil and they would pour it on the sheep's head. Because the lice and the ticks and all that kind of stuff would kind of grow up, and that's wonderful this morning, talk about this. Lice and the ticks, they were all over the sheep's body. They would crawl up, and watching you squirm, it's fantastic. And they would crawl up, and they would get into the sheep's ears, and it would produce disease, and it would kill them, right? Happy Sunday morning. But what the shepherd would do is the shepherd would take oil, and they would anoint that sheep's head with oil, so that when the lice and all that stuff would crawl up, they would just fall off. They wouldn't be able to crawl into their ears, and they wouldn't crawl, do damage. Actually, that's where that word really began. It's to anoint. So it later actually became, in the Old Testament we see, that word actually became meaning for like blessing. Right? They would anoint somebody. They would bless them. Right? They would take actually oil in the Old Testament. They would actually take oil and they would anoint them. They put oil on their heads, like, right? And as an idea for blessing, for protection, they would use it for. And they would also use it to empower. It was a symbol of the presence of God, is really what it was. like they would anoint kings, like king when the prophet came to David, right? And they said, no, it's not all the older brothers that's going to be king. It's going to be David that's going to be king. And the Bible says that they anointed David as king, right? So it was used to bless, to the word, builders, like when they were building the temple, they were building they would do all the beautiful arrangements in the temple, and they would do all the woodworking and the different stuff that they would do, the cloths and everything. The Bible said that they anointed like builders. They anointed people to do all those artistic. You can be anointed in the area of the arts. You can be anointed, not just music. You can be anointed in the area of drawing and producing beautiful things and knitting, right? So all kind of stuff that you can be anointed to do that. The Bible says they were anointed people. God anointed them to do that for the temple. The New Testament word, one of the New Testament words is kairo, which means to smear or rub with oil, or to consecrate for an office or a religious type service, right? To consecrate for a specific purpose for God. The word has to do with consecrating something to the Lord. It also has to do with anointing, had to do with God's presence. It was a symbolic, there's nothing magical in the oil, right? It was a symbol of God's presence. There's so much more in this, but I don't have time to go into it. But there was a symbol of God's presence in that oil. The Bible talks about when we come, if somebody is sick in the church, he says that we should come before the elders of the church and let them anoint them with oil, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, is what the scripture says. So you can actually anoint. Many of you have seen people anoint with somebody with oil. You've seen people get anointed with oil for healing. Well, that's where it comes from. It comes from not the Old Testament. This is the New Testament. New Testament church stuff, right? So you can anoint people with oil. And all it is, it's the same almost like as baptism, right? Or communion. It's the same kind of idea. There's nothing magical about the water. There's nothing magical about the bread, right? But when you do it, it symbolizes, something that symbolizes a reality that's present, right? When they put you under that water, the Bible talks about the dead man, right? That you're raised, when you come out of the water, rather, you're raised to walk in a new way, in a new life. The old man has been crucified with Christ, and now you're raised to life, right? It's a symbol. And some of you may get baptized at the lake. You're welcome to do that. That'll be the first thing that we do. Maybe the only spiritual thing that we do, especially after the competition starts, amen? But we will do a baptism at the lake, and maybe that's something that you want to do. We had a lot of our teenagers get baptized this week in a river in Hamilton, Alabama. But listen to this. So we talk about how the anointing oil, to be anointed, has to do with the symbolic representation of oil, but it also has to do with the presence of God. The presence of God and the power of God. Listen to this in Acts chapter 10. And you listen, and every word that they write is important, right? It says how God anointed, there's that word, Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Watch that. What did he anoint? What did Jesus was anointed with? The Holy Spirit and with power. The Holy Spirit and with power. How he went about and doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Our old charismatics would say that. With the Holy Ghost and with power. Amen. Right? Amen. Good Church of God, folks. They don't say Holy Spirit. It's Holy Ghost. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus was chosen. Actually, also, I didn't even mention that. It actually had also to do with actually being chosen by God. So they would different people would they would anoint them as chosen for this particular office. Like we said, for that duty or that religious, don't even like that word, religious duty that they would do, right? Anointed. They were actually chosen. So Jesus was chosen and anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. And what did he do? To go about and do good and to heal all those who are oppressed of the devil. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 and 22 says this about now us. Now it is God who makes both of us, both us and you, to stand firm in Christ. He anointed us and set his seal of ownership on us and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, a guarantee for what is to come. We have been anointed by the Spirit of God. The question is, are you anointed? Are you born again? If you're born again, you are anointed. According to this scripture, you are anointed. Say, I am.
I am.
Anointed.
Anointed.
Say, I am.
I am.
Anointed.
Anointed.
You are chosen. You are set apart for a particular purpose to do what God's asked you to do. You have been anointed. You don't have to wait for anointing. You have been anointed. The power of the Holy Spirit lives in you. You are a vessel, a conduit of the anointing of God. Jesus said it like this. He says, the works I do, you'll do it also. The same works I've done, you'll do them also. What are the works of Jesus? He went about doing good and healing all that who were oppressed of the devil because God was with him. Why? Because he was anointed with the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, and with power. That's you. That's me. You have been anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power, just like Jesus, right? Listen to this. But here's the thing. Just because we have that, I was going to say, get in your face this morning. That was rude. I want to get right here. Just because you've received an anointing does not necessarily mean that you walk in it. Just because you have giftings on the inside of you doesn't mean you'll exercise those giftings. To the degree that you exercise your giftings is the degree that you'll walk in those giftings. To the degree that you walk in the anointing and you pursue the power of God, will be that same thing measured out to you. The anointing breaks the yokes. It's the anointing, the power of God, that delivers people from the enemy. It's the power of God. Listen, I'm going to get way ahead of myself. But we can have all the programs you want. You can have all the self-help stuff you want. But the answer to our world's issues is believers who are anointed by God. Make no mistake. It's believers who are anointed by God and who walk in that anointing. Just like a gifting can increase in your life, the anointing can increase in your life. You ever walk in somebody's presence? And you go, that person's been with Jesus. Like, that person's been with God. I remember we had a guy on our team this past time in Honduras. And that guy, and we're all gifted, right? But this guy was so gifted in the word of knowledge. One of the strongest, isn't that right? One of the strongest, anoint John. One of the strongest anointings with the word of knowledge that I've seen in a minute. And I remember, so I'm a pastor, so I know a lot of stuff that goes on. I remember watching him have words over some of the people that he'd never met before in our church. And I'm going, my eyes are this big. And their hearts are just melting because God sees them, right? Right? When somebody gives you a word, and they don't know you, you're like, oh, okay, God sees. God sees my stuff. God sees my things that I'm going through. He's not unaware of, right? And I would just watch people just in our groups. They would just weep and yeah. But you can grow in that anointing. Watch this. Now these are the same disciples the scripture I'm about to read. These are the same disciples that were at the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came into their lives, right? They were endued with power from on high, like Jesus said, right? Remember, like tongues of fire and all that stuff, and they were speaking in tongues and like different languages and all kind of crazy stuff, and everybody thought they were drunk, and they said, no, we're not drunk as you think we are. We're drunk another way. But they were filled, right? These are the same disciples. Now listen to what they say. This is right after a good dose of good persecution had hit them. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 27, it talks about a prayer that they prayed. It said, in fact, this very city, Herod and Pontius Pilate, conspired with the Gentiles and the people of Israel against your holy servant. This is a prayer. He's talking to God. Against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. And they carried out what your hand had decided beforehand would happen. And now, listen to this. And now, Lord, consider their threats. And enable your servants to speak your word with complete boldness, that you would stretch out your hand and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled. What? I thought these people were filled in Jerusalem. I thought these people were filled at the day of Pentecost. The Bible says that the whole place was shaken and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Again. 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 And then they spoke their word with boldness. Do you understand? Like, the anointing can grow on you. The power of God can grow on you. It can be The presence of God can grow on you just like you exercise a gift, just like you put your energy into whatever you sow into, that's what you're going to reap, right? So if you sow into time with God, spending time with Him, spending time in worship, spending time in the Word of God, being among fellow brothers and sisters, when we do that, we get into the presence of God, God continues to more and more and more anoint you. And the power in you grows and grows. You ever hang around Tyrone? Makes you hungry for God? You know why? Nobody knows this. He spends a lot of time in prayer. A lot of time in the presence of God. What blocks, what clutter can get in our lives and get in our lives and choke out the anointing? The first one is this. I really have two. The first one's this: selfishness. Selfishness. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 24. Says this: the one who gives freely yet gains even more. One who gives freely yet gains even more. Another will withhold what is right only to become poor. A generous soul will prosper. And he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. That's not up there, but it's Proverbs 11:24. Listen, I'm just going to bring this all down. I'm not going back up there. Let me say this. Hear my heart in this morning, please. If this is your first time here, hear my heart this morning. If we don't change how we do church, and we don't change our attitudes towards God, we'll never receive the anointing. We'll just be a club. We treat God like He's some kind of self-help guru. Right? And God's like, I want to empower you to be a blessing everywhere you go. I want to empower you to go about and do good and heal all those who are oppressed of the devil. You know why? Because God's with you. Not so that, you know, so that I can, me and my husband can kind of get along, or me and my wife can not fight anymore. Yeah, that's like here. Where God wants to take us is to be effective and to be people of God who carry God's anointing everywhere we go. And not relegate the anointing. Charismatics, we're just as bad. Because we relegate the anointing to a church service. Are you kidding me? Most of the miracles, if you read the New Testament, most of the miracles happened outside the church. People who carry God's anointing, carry God's presence, is the kind of people I want to be. And we do it, it's not for me. And then we do this. We say, I'm a pastor. Look at me, I'm a pastor. Or I'm an evangelist. I'm this, or I'm that. I'm just going to get real. If this is your first time, just, you know. I've been in rooms. I'm really tempted to just shut the tape off right now. I've been in rooms. People who were anointed, and they were rude. They were mean, full of themselves. You just want to go, I just want to puke. Because you know what it's all about? It's all about others. It's all about others. It's all about others. Your anointing is not for you. Your anointing is for the person sitting next to you, the person who you work with. The anointing is for your coworkers. It's for the people that you go and you spend and you work with. The people that you go to the grocery store with. It's the people that you rub shoulders with. The anointing is that you can be a conduit of God's goodness everywhere you go. And we've relegated it to a church service. Isn't that sweet? God's like, expand your vision, people. Your anointing is for others. It's for others. Everybody say others.
Others. It's,
and we look at me, I'm this, or I'm that, or I have this gifting. It's like the fruit tree, right? To go bear fruit. It's like this. It's like the most ridiculous picture ever of the fruit tree producing fruit. And the fruit tree like, oh, I really like this fruit I'm eating. The fruit's not for the tree. It's for the people to enjoy the fruit off of you because you're anointed and you produce fruit. But we just, that's good fruit of my own. It's for others. Let that bury yourself. Like some of you hear somebody bragging about how great their anointing is. It's for others. It's for others. It's about others. It's being by chosen by God. And listen to this. Anointed by God. What does that mean? It means you're marked. It means you're chosen for a purpose. It means you're marked for a thing to do. Let me break that up. Because then you go into like, what's my calling? You know what your calling is? To go about doing good and healing all those who are oppressed of the devil because God's with you. Whatever that looks like. Right? I'm anointed. I remember when I was in Honduras, and I walked up to these people, and I think I told it last week, but it bears repeating. And I reached out my hands to God, and didn't feel a thing. Right? There's no anointing, whatever. Anyway, there was no tangible sense of God's presence or anything. Right? And I reached out, and I remember grabbing these ladies' hands. And I said, let's pray. And all of a sudden, the goodness of God fell. I sensed the presence of God on my life. And I watched God use me in that moment. But it was interesting that the presence of God didn't really come until I reached out to somebody else. Amen?
until I reached out to somebody else. Then I sensed it. Not that you have to sense it, but it's interesting that it had to do with others. The next thing, I'm just going to get real in here, is surrender. Are we really surrendered? Are we really surrendered completely, 100% to Him? Are we really surrendered to His giftings and His desires and His will? Jesus said like this, other things, the love of other things, pleasures of this life. There's a story of this girl, and she had this beautiful fake pearl necklace. Really, really pretty, right? And her daddy came to her, and he had his hand behind his back. You know where this is going, right? He said, Honey, let me have those. Let me have that pearl necklace that you have. She goes, no, I love my pearl necklace. I'm not giving my pearl necklace. He says, I've got something better if you just let me have your pearl necklace, your fake pearl necklace. She goes, no, I love it. That's so pretty. I just every time I go out, I always like to wear it, and people always compliment how pretty it is, and I just feel makes me feel like $1 million. You know, there's no way. He said, if you just give it to me, if you just give it to me. So she finally reluctantly gave off that necklace and gave it to him. And you know where this is going. Turns around, he has a real pearl necklace. Think about that real pearl necklace. It's not as, some of them don't even look as pretty. Not even, always shaped real nice, you know. It's not even as smooth. Actually, if you look at under a microscope, a real pearl, they have like grains in it, right? And it's kind of rough. But they're real. And they're more valuable than those fake pearls. I'm just going to boldly say, there's people in this room, it's time for you to trade the fake for the real. It's time for you to trade the fake for the real things of God. Time for you to really go after God. Say, God, I'm tired of playing. I'm tired of this form of godliness, but denying your power. I'm tired of faking it. God, I want the real. You can have it. Take it. Take it. Take it, God. Take it. I want the real. I want the valuable. I want something that's going to last for all of eternity. So why is this important? And why am I so stirred up? Because for the last few weeks, I want to tell you the thoughts that have been going through my head. It seems like everywhere I turn around, like we're all adults. When you start digging into different cultural things, like some of the evils that are in our culture, haven't you noticed that it's like now it's everywhere? Don't go down that rabbit hole because you'll find out where it really all goes. This guy who was just indicted for abusing children, big financier. Right? Some of you know who I'm talking about. It's interesting how that shut down really quick. You don't really hear about that story anymore. Because he was involved with a lot of very powerful people. And then you start talking to people who are in the whole sex trafficking business. And you go, oh my gosh, it's everywhere. This evil is everywhere. Everywhere you can turn, everywhere you can think. It seeps all this like underlying current everywhere. And then talk to Tyrone. And talk about the drug use. Go down that rabbit hole and see where it leads you. And then you find out, it's my neighbor, it's my coworkers, it's my... We go to the ramp. They give altar call. Listen to me. Parents, they give an altar call for pornography. 11 and 12-year-old kids run to the front altar, weeping, crying. The same ones battling depression and suicide. Because it's this underlying current that goes everywhere. And it's the secret thing that we don't want to talk about. Because you know what? I can shut my garage door and I don't have to worry about it. And I watched story after story of those people at the ramp, and they talked about how that pornography, it gripped them so deeply. He said the first time one of them said this is so true, as a person who battled it myself. He says that the moment I saw that first image, he said it hooked me, and it hooked me deeply. And he said it took them down one after the other. Guys, I'm so proud of those people at the ramp, just being bold about just telling their story. And how depression and how suicide was that, and that pornography was just really an open door. The devil doesn't care about pornography. He wants to kill you. He wants to steal from you. He wants to destroy you. Right? He doesn't care what it is. But if he can hook you, and he can hook you deeply. And guys, listen, I'm not here to preach fear. This is the reality of where we are in the nation. When you're a nation who turns their back on God, and we can think of it in terms of that we are people and that we're right and they're wrong. And let me, that is so shallow thinking. Because what's really going on is the devil is destroying people's lives through pornography, through drug use, through all kind of perversions. Right? He's destroying people. We carry the anointing. Can we solve the whole problem? Nope. But I can solve that one. Because you know why? Because I'm anointed. When I talk to somebody, I'm anointed. When I pray over somebody, I'm anointed. Chosen by God to break the power of the devil off of people. So are you. So are you. So are you. We've all received, the Bible says, you have received an anointing from the Holy One. And it's not for me to tell you what your deal is, what your job is. That's the Holy Spirit's job. Worship team, if you could go ahead and come up. See, I told you it's dangerous to come after your pastor's been away at revival. Because it breaks your heart. It breaks your heart. It breaks your heart. How do people we got to be better. We got to be better. The anointing. Let everybody stand together. Thank you.
Jesus. Jesus. God, help us see. Help us see. Help us see, God, with your eyes. Help us feel with your heart. And God, forgive us. Forgive us, God. God, you said that we were the light of the world. Come on, right where you're at, just you and him. Say, I am anointed. God, more. As John the Baptist says, God, that he may increase and that I would decrease. Thank you, Jesus. Start singing. Let's just worship him. Let this song be a cry of your heart this morning.
This is my worship.
Come on, you and him.
This is my offering. In every moment, I withhold nothing. I'm learning to trust you. Even when I can't see you, and even in suffering, I have to believe it. And if you say it's wrong, then I'll say it.
God, we surrender. We surrender to you, God.
If you lead it with me, I'll be. And when you say to jump, I'm done. If you say you're still, then I will wait. If you say to trust, I will obey. I don't want to follow my own way.
I'm done.
I'm chasing feelings.
Spirit.
Spirit.
God, more of you, less of us. God, more of you and less of us. God, we receive, God, your power this morning. In a greater way this morning, God, more of you. More of you. Diving in.
If you say we still, then I will. If you say to trust, I will obey. Teach me how to follow your way. I'm not chasing feelings, Spirit.
Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Jesus. God, we worship you in this place. Come on, just you and him. Just you and him. If you're a hand lifter, lift your hands. God, I want more of you. I surrender. I surrender my life, God, to your purposes. I'm tired of following my own way. God, I just will be a difference maker. Everywhere I go, every step I take, God, I'll be an instrument of your goodness. And Jesus, I will just copy you. Everywhere I'll go about doing good. Everywhere I go, I'll be about healing those who are oppressed of the devil. Because God, I know you're with me. God, I know you're with me. God, it's not me anyway. It's your power that works through me. God, more of you. More of you. More of you. I just want to decree over you this morning that you are anointed to draw people closer to God. You say, man, this is a crazy world. This is a crazy world. People don't even like God anymore. They don't like religion anymore. You know what? God, you put eternity in every person's heart. Every person's heart. Every person's heart. I remember at the job I used to have, people would just come to me and ask me just to pray with them. And you're like, I thought you just talked about how much you hated religion. And they go, I do. I hate religion. But I know I need God. I know I need God. Don't listen to what people say. Listen. Like that song says, even when you don't see he's working, he's working. Bible says God holds the heart of kings in the palm of his hand. And he turns it whatever way. You parent. You parents in here, maybe you're praying for a son or a daughter. Keep praying. Keep praying. Keep praying. Keep praying. Keep praying. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. It's a work of the Holy Spirit, not yours. You've already said all the things you know to say. Just pray. Just pray. Just pray. Don't just pray. Pray. And watch God's power get released. Watch God start working. God, more of you. More of you. Hallelujah, God. We love you this morning. You're anointed by the Holy Spirit to break the power of the devil. It's in you. It's in you. That power is in you. Because God lives in you. Because the Holy Spirit lives in you. Amen. Amen. Amen.